The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
There have been so many changes in the way sports is presented in the media. Now, it's not only the game on the field or in the arena, but it's also the politics, the look, and the rules off the field. Welcome to Behind the Lens with Pete D'Alonso. Pete has spent over 30 years covering sports from the inside. Now, he's ready to bring the real stories outside. Here's your host, Pete D'Alonso.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. I'm your host, Pete D'Alonso. We are Behind the Lens, and I have two gentlemen, two guests, that these guys go way back when sports cable television started. It's Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko. But before I introduce them, I just want to do a recap of what happened last week with Jim Angio. And I just look at the association that I see from what sports television is here in the Bay Area is the same as it was in Chicago. And Jim Angio was a frontier, I mean, quote, pioneer, icon of sports directors in Chicago. And he goes with Arnie Harris and, I mean, goes with the, I call the Television Hall of Fame of Chicago. And he did so much in detail of covering Chicago White Sox baseball to the Blackhawks, to the Bulls. I mean, the guy was there all the time, and he showed that creativity and passion that really was always etched in my mind of an individual that has always been a part of sports television. Now, in showing what type of improvements that have come into our industry, I look at HD as being one of them, but I'm not really privy on all the other antics and distractions that go into the television broadcast. And I kind of want to bring that out with the two guests that I have on hold right now. And ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Hey, Pete. How are you doing?
Good. Mike?
Pete, how are you?
Oh, swell. You know, you two guys turn back the Wayback Machine. And I always remember Dwayne and his antics and his humor and his dry humor, which my wife thinks you're the funniest. You guys are the funniest of all announcers in television, in sports television. She thinks you guys have more humor than I do. And you know, I said, and that's saying a lot. Okay, I think my humor is pretty good, but you guys are a notch above me. So thanks a lot. But anyway, I want to go and talk. And
hey, Pete, don't forget, your humor is two levels above a rosin bag, so that ain't saying a whole lot, pal.
Oh, Jesus, Mike, come on. But I know for a fact that you guys have memories, and that was at Candlestick Park when Giants Vision started. Now, both of you guys, you have the ball to run with. You got the soapbox. Make the association, Giants Vision, to what Comcast Bay Area is today. Dwayne, Mike, you guys run with the ball. Who wants to talk first about that?
Well, Sports Vision was, you know, it was something that Corey Bush, you know, our boss at that time, and his assistant Mike Shapiro, they were really the guys that were out front on Giants Vision. And the catch to Giants Vision was you could pick up the phone and you could dial a number and you could watch just that game that day. And you'd pay for it. I mean, I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was $6, $7. I'm not sure. So you could buy it individually or you could buy it. You could buy the entire season. And that was the catch. And you know, look, I don't know if it worked or not. I do know that it got the ball rolling as far as televising a lot of home games. I mean, you know, the perception was years and years ago that you never televised home games because it would affect your attendance. Well, for once now, the Giants decided that they would televise home games. So that was the catch to Giants Vision, and eventually it spiraled off into Sports Channel and then some other things. But that was the catch, Pete.
Yeah. Michael, your views, your perspective?
Well, you know, if you go back historically, the Giants, you know, they didn't broadcast a lot of games, period. I know I was raised in Los Angeles, and the only games we could get when I was in L.A. were the Dodgers and the Giants, and it was the same thing for Giants fans in the Bay Area. That was the only series that they would get. And I know when Dwayne and I played in the 80s in San Francisco, there weren't that many games that were on TV. I mean, it was a select few, and I'd be willing to bet it was less than half of the games were televised. So when Giants Vision came along and gave the fans basically a chance to watch every game, I mean, that was pretty significant. And it has morphed into where every game is televised now. Not everyone on cable. We still have some over-the-air broadcasts with NBC Bay Area. but basically every game is televised. And I just think that we've been kind of along for the ride as broadcasters. I know there was one year that my contract said I was going to do all the televised games. I only did 120 games. I had 40 days off. I didn't know what to do with myself. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now we do every game, and I just think that it adds to the rhythm of the listener who's following the story of a particular team. And I just think that baseball, at least in the Bay Area, because of the fact that we televise every game, is the interest there is at an all-time high. It's a great team. It's a great story that's told every year on our broadcast, and I think it needs to be done on a day-to-day basis, and I think that baseball is finally getting it right. And we're just really happy to be all part of it, Pete. As you know, we have all kind of paralleled our careers together as camera people and broadcasters and producers and directors, so we've all had a pretty nice run with this.
Sure, you've seen how the broadcasts have changed, and how, Dwayne, I'm going to throw the ball in your court on this one. How have you made the adjustment from 30 years ago when you were working with Joe Morgan at the time and you knew when breaks were coming and you didn't have to worry about promos and this and that? It's just like, how did you make the adjustment, Dwayne?
Well, promos are always going to be an issue, you know, and you know, that's something that every year we have to deal with it, you know. And Jim Lynch, our director, and Jeff Kuiper, our producer, I mean, they're well aware of that, and they try very hard not to interrupt our flow if we're in a conversation with some type of a promo or some type of a copy that we have to read. You're right. That wasn't really the case when we first started doing it. I mean, they were looking for sponsors, and, you know, they were begging for sponsors, and they weren't getting a whole lot of sponsors. But now that's not the case. You know, we have to deal with that, and that is one of the issues that Mike and I have, is that we're constantly doing, you know, some type of a read.
Right.
But it means that somebody's making some money and we all have jobs. And that's also extremely important.
Okay.
So that's different. You know, we had one replay machine in those days. Now there's mm-hmm. three or four. The number of cameras that we have now compared to back then, it's really significant. But I will tell you this, that when Giants Vision started and when Corey Bush had a vision as to how he wanted things done, he did not cut any corners when it came to number of cameras, allowing us to be who we were, not interrupting us and telling us, you know, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. He was a bit of a pioneer when it came to all of those things. And, you know, lucky for Mike and I, we've never had a boss that's deviated from that. And it really has allowed us to be ourselves.
Okay. Mike, your feelings from the past when you kind of like it free flow, you have a great train of thought about a pitcher that you want to talk about, and then you got to read a promo. Come on, Mike. You're a little provoked by that, or what's going
through?
Well, no,
and I think what Dwayne said before, you know, We're pretty fortunate in that we have a producer that understands it. You know, number one, he's listened to the story too. just like the audience is, and he's not going to interrupt it. Very few times have we ever been inconvenienced, and I couldn't even put the number on one hand in regards to doing promos and drop-ins. We just aren't. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing too about what Giants baseball does, we don't have a lot of pre-packaging. We don't have a lot of, you know, 3 to 5 or, you know, minute segments of little histories or autobiographies or something. We pretty much let the game dictate what's going to get talked about. I know I've worked on other broadcasts where there was 45 minutes of pre-built stuff before the game, and they spent a lot of money on putting together those pre-built packages. And when they spent that kind of money on it, they wanted to get them in the broadcast, even if it meant interfering with the flow of the game or the actual story of the game. Yeah. And I think a lot of these pre-built packages at times have become and can become distractions to what is happening on the field. And we don't do that. We pretty much, we have some pre-builds, but for the most part, we keep it pretty clean because we believe the whole story of that particular game is what is so interesting to our viewing audience. Right. We really don't prepare a lot of statistics in our own mind going into a ball game as broadcasters,
right?
Because we feel that you can put people to sleep by giving them a lot of numbers that really just are nothing more than superfluous BS. It's just which baseball can easily be. There's so many numbers attached to baseball right now. Instead, we try to capture the game, and we try to capture the emotion of the fan in the stands. We try to capture emotion of the player in the dugout, on the field, the relationship between the pitcher and the catcher, the relationship between the umpires and both teams, the reactions by the manager, the pitching coach. I mean, these things, I think, all tell the story of the game, and I think this is what our broadcast does such a great job of. And and I don't ever remember any of it being pushed aside because there was a drop-in or a commercial that had to be read. There are times between innings, and there are lags and lulls where you can time it right, and I think that's the genius of Jeff Kuiper who puts these things together. We're just not inconvenienced, and it does not break the flow of the game.
Interesting. Because I work on the visiting broadcast, and I look at the combination of you two guys – and looking at a lot of the visiting broadcasts, I see the comparison where they're kind of programmed and knowing when they have to do these fills and tweets and everything else that goes during the broadcast, and they have to talk about it. But you guys have the option to kind of like, let's finish the story, let's complete what our train of thought is, because we don't want to insult ourselves, let alone insult the viewer. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good, Pete. You know, we don't really get involved in tweeting. You know, every once in a while, maybe once a year, they ask us to answer questions from fans, and, you know, and that's fine. You know, pick the right game, pick the right day of the week to do it, and, you know, and that's fine. But we're really fortunate. Look, we've been doing this a long time, and now we're in a pretty much of a rhythm as to how we like things done.
Okay.
And we don't like it so much when our rhythm gets thrown off.
Well, does it get thrown off?
And that's my question. That's one thing that we're always very conscious of, is making sure that our rhythm is always in a good flow. And not very often does it get rocked or do we get thrown off. You know, the only thing that really sometimes gets us out of our rhythm is when that line drive down into the visitor's end of the dugout hits that cameraman down at low first. That gets us a bit out of a rhythm because he's got a Phillies cap on.
No,
we're
don't.
Always cheering
I don't wear
for
my
the
Phillies
ball
cap
in that case. And a lot of times the ball gets a good cheer.
You know, I took a bad ball to the face. I think it was that Diamondbacks series. It took me right to the eye. I took half the ball to my eye, spun me around, my forehead hit the trash can. And it's like, oh, my God, that was a That was like just a wake-up call right there, of course.
Well, we didn't see that one. We would never make fun of a guy that gets knocked. Yeah, maybe we would. Sorry.
If it was Pete DeLonzo, you would. But if it was someone like Kira or Rusty or Benny, you would have more empathy for that. But it's Pete DeLonzo. Because Pete DeLonzo gets a cat to the face.
That's for sure. You know, LP, we do keep track. We keep a record of how many balls go in and actually hit people. We call it and by the way, we were going to say this for the end of the show.
What?
But we call a ball that goes into the dugout an ugly finder, and the person who has the most ugly finders wins the Ugly Finder of the Year award. And, Pete, we're going to announce to all your fans who are listening that for the 14th year in a row, you have won the Ugly Finder award.
You know,
hands down, it wasn't even close. Hey, congratulations, Pete. What an honor.
What's that?
What an honor. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dwayne. You know, it's not often I get an award. Like, you know, you had the parade there at City Hall that you would have brought that presentation. I could get off camera, and I could have come up there and got the ugly award that I would have taken with such pride. Just as much as you got the trophy up there, I can get the ugly award. And I always wondered where that term came from. And now that you've explained that to me in detail, now I know what it's all about. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, congratulations, Pete. How's it going?
Well, anyway, as I was trying to lead up to, was these vanilla shows that I call mail-in jobs. And you know exactly what I'm talking about when, you know, you're just riding a wave and you just don't show that soul, that passion, that creativity that you guys put into the show. I mean, it's kind of like it's evident that you guys love what you do because it's evident on air that you belong there. You're ex-ball players and you're broadcasters, and it's kind of like how I associate with, you know, with Harry Callis or Harry Carey or Jack Buck. I mean, those guys, I mean, they were my icons when I was growing up, and you guys show that a lot. But before I get that answer from you, I got to take this break, and we will come back, ladies and gentlemen, with Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko on their perspectives and ideas on how they deliver their broadcasts. We'll be right back. You're listening to Behind the Lens.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
School to the pros, we
cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Dwayne and Kuiper and Mike Kruko, and I'm just kind of in awe by the past announcers that I worked with, I talked about Jack Buck when I did the World Series in Cincinnati and working with him in Atlanta. And it was just like this flux of announcers that I remember growing up. And I remember, Jesus Christ, it's Jack Buck, or working with Harry Callis. It was just, you know, it was kind of something that I always felt that was such a great blend of individuals that, you know, as a part of my bookmarks of my chapters of the Pete DeLonzo story. But now that I have Dwayne and Mike on the line, it's kind of like recollecting, God, it's like 30 years. We're turning back the Wayback Machine, and I see these two guys, I'm going, man, it's been a long trip, and it keeps going, and they haven't changed. You still have that Abbott and Costello type of design of who you are, of, you know, you have that mannerisms, which is kind of cool. And people tell me all the time, it's just like, you know, these guys, just they eat you alive all the time, especially Dwayne. You know, you want to become a male nurse, I heard, or you want to get out of TV because you're wearing clogs or something. Is this true, Pete? So, you know, Dwayne, I want you to tell me from where you are right now, okay, and turning back 30 years ago, What do you think is kind of like some great memories that you like to share with the listening audience?
Well, I have great memories of all those years at Candlestick, where you know, we were all kind of the same age, you know, we're all breaking in at the same time. All of our camera guys, you know, you don't forget those guys, and you don't forget how hard they work and the job that they have to do. And we've all kind of climbed the ladder at the same time. And I think that's the beauty of what we do. And it really, you know, you really appreciate coming to work every day. You see the same guys every day. You see the same ladies every day. And some days, you know what? Some days you're in a good mood. Some days you're not. But the beauty of it is that's fine. Everybody understands that, and everybody gets that. Mm-hmm. So those are my memories. And, of course, the memories over the last, you know, 12 or 13 years in the new ballpark, I mean, you know, you can't ever forget those. Look, they won 3 world championships. They very well could have won a 4th in 2002, but they couldn't get out of the 7th or 8th inning. So those are the memories that I have. You know, I look at Jim Lynch, and I look at my brother Jeff, and I haven't, as far as my brother Jeff, I've never done a Giants game where he wasn't the producer. And, you know, and he's my younger brother. How many guys can say that? And, you know, in my first 5 years doing TV, we're with Joe, and every game after that, they've been with Mike. So that's a charmed life, I have to tell you. And those are the memories I have. Every day that I show up to work, you know, I get to see a group of guys, from a best friend who I work with to a brother in the truck to everybody else that walks around that ballpark. And that's a charmed life. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I want to get your thumbnail sketch of Candlestick and all the memories that you have, and kind of like coming from the player to the broadcast booth. I mean, to you, it was like...
Well, I agree with Dwayne. I mean, it really is a family that we've become, because we've been around each other for so long, and everybody respects one another. And I think that's the key. We learned from the same guy how to broadcast, Hank Greenwald. And Hank was a traditionalist in many ways. And the one thing that he hammered into us over and over and over again, it's just because you have a lousy game is no excuse for a lousy broadcast. And we take that to heart. And the other thing we say before every game, watching the greatest game being played in front of our very eyes, is we always remind each other as to how hard it is. And we don't ever forget how hard it is to be a player. They make that game look easy. And at times when you become a broadcaster, you get used to perfection, and then you criticize away from perfection, and it's not fair to that particular player. And it sounds like you put yourself on a pedestal or that you're better than that player. And that's something we try hard not to do. Mm-hmm. The best memories for me are always going to be the years when you win. It's when you have a year like 1987 or 1989. 1993, the Giants didn't win. They won 103 games. It was one of the most remarkable things we ever saw. When they resurrected themselves after a season where they lost over 90 games in 1996 and they went to the playoffs in 1997 with Jeff Kent and J.T. Snow coming aboard. And I mean, that was a pretty special time. Of course, in 2000 when they first got to the ballpark, opening up AT&T, back then it was Pac Bell Park, that was a remarkable ride, a remarkable story. Going to the World Series in 2002, going to the playoffs, in all those years, and then, of course, leading up to 2010 when they won their very first championship and then to be able to do it two other times since. I mean, these are the stories that stand out, but I can't take away from even the years where they lost 96 games. There was joy in that season because of the effort that went into that season from the player's perspective. You know, it was a story of Bill Miller came out of a search through the minor leagues and an overall overview to try and figure out what the Giants had in their minor leagues. And they got Bill Miller, who turned out to be one of our favorite players. So every year has its story. And if you're in the baseball world, I mean, you're pretty lucky to begin with. It's hard to find misery in the surroundings and in the environment. And like Dwayne said, when you put together a lot of good people, and then Pete, you know how we all are passionate about one another and our crew and how we feel about one another, it's a pretty special place to go to work every day. And we mm-hmm. just feel like we are the luckiest guys on the planet.
Sure. I mean, I feel the same way for so many years. Not only working at Candlestick, but also at the Oakland Coliseum and